Hey guys, throw out that Pro Controller of yours. You don't need it for this week. This week we're talking about Pokemon Let's Go. Hey guys, welcome back to 8-Bit Archaeology. My name's Eric and I love video games. So, what's been happening since the last episode? Well, Thanksgiving just passed. I hope everyone had a great holiday. And I'm looking forward to the holiday season. So I'm still currently have a cast on my right wrist. For those of you who may not have heard the last episode, I broke my wrist about a month ago. I did have some surgery. And it's been a little difficult for me to play games for the last month. Well, a little game came out about 2 weeks ago that I've been playing a ton of because now I can, because I only need one hand to play it, and that is Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. I specifically got the Pikachu version because it is essentially an HD remake of Pokemon Yellow. But let's not be mistaken, these are mainline Pokemon games, and these are the first mainline Pokemon games to come to the Switch. So this week, what I really want to be talking about is not so much Let's Go Pikachu as a whole, but more about how Let's Go deviates from the core Pokemon franchise. Well, they're core games, but how it deviates from the core premises of the franchise and how those are good and how those are bad. So, for those of you that don't know, Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee basically are an integration of Pokemon Go with a standard mainline Pokemon game. And what they did is they took certain aspects from the Pokemon Go experience and integrated it into Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. And I want to ramble about that for a little bit. So, other than that, a little bit of housekeeping. I just want to thank everyone for the continued support. We just passed 1,000 downloads on the podcast overall, which, in the grand scheme of things, is not a large amount of downloads when you're talking about the entire internet. But for me, it feels like a really good first step, and I really want to thank everyone who continues to download and listen to the podcast. It just means so much to me, so let's roll into the games and let's talk about what I like, what I dislike, and what works about these games. So, about 20 years ago, a bunch of us played a little Pokemon game called Pokemon Yellow. Pokemon Yellow was basically a sequel to, well, not sequel, but kind of a continuation of Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue, which came out a couple years before it. In Pokemon Yellow, you essentially got a Pikachu as your starter Pokemon, and it followed you around throughout the entirety of the game. Now, you can't evolve this partner Pokemon, and I believe you can remove it from your party, but if you keep it in your party, it sort of follows you around the overworld, you get to interact with Pikachu, and it has some added benefits, too. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are the same thing. Let's Go Pikachu keeps Pikachu as the partner Pokemon. Let's Go Eevee makes Eevee the partner Pokemon. And those are basically your two starter Pokemon. Just like Yellow, you have access to the other Kanto starter Pokemon throughout the region in different ways. So I played Pokemon Yellow. It's one of my all-time favorites. It kind of takes what it was good about Pokemon Red and Blue and heightens it a little bit because it makes more Pokemon accessible from the start, like being able to catch all three starters if that's what you wanted to do from the beginning. I have some issues sometimes with the fact that you have one partner stuck with you, but on the whole, it felt like you were more connected to your partner Pokemon with the fact that they're following you around the overworld and are taking this journey with you. Well, Let's Go takes this integration even further. So, when I said earlier that these games are basically HD remakes, that is, like, a loose term. They are basically the Kanto Pokemon Yellow game reimagined in a new 3D engine with a shiny new coat of paint that's gorgeous. I love the new art style. It's great. They've recreated every single environment from those games in ridiculous detail using updated shaders and lighting and 3D models for the Pokemon, which is insane. And you can have Pokemon follow you in this one that aren't just your partner Pokemon, which is pretty great. So on the whole, on the visuals department, I am totally on board with the new style that Pokemon is taking. I think it looks great. I think it fits the aesthetic. I know we're usually used to a sort of animated aesthetic with outlines that harken back to the anime and all that stuff, but I'm all for this. I don't want them to embrace the full look of Pokemon Go, but I think they took what's good about it and sort of integrated that in terms of the graphics anyway. So let's talk about the actual sort of story and how that is basically the same thing. The story in Pokemon Yellow was tweaked to be a little bit more like the anime. So you get a Pikachu as your partner, similar to Ash, and also Jesse and James and Meowth from the anime are now in the game as well. Well, this follows suit in Pokemon Yellow, and you basically follow the same plot to stop Team Rocket, become the champion of the realm, catch every single Pokemon, yada yada yada. We all know how that story goes. They did a really good job of recreating it and even elaborating on some parts that may not have been as clear before. So it was really felt like a really good nostalgic trip going down memory lane, exploring Kanto again with a whole new lens on it, but it also felt like what I remembered Pokemon Yellow to be. This sort of reimagined 3D world felt like what I thought Yellow was, and to me that's really important because it's, I mean, I know these games are marketed more towards, like, everyone's been calling them baby's first Pokemon game, and they kind of are, because the difficulty of these games has been ramped down a bit, the catching mechanics are different and meant to appeal to a wider audience than just mainline Pokemon fans. And I'll talk more on that in a bit, but I think on the whole, this has been a really good reimagining and redevelopment of what we all remember those Pokemon games to be. It did a really good job of striking the nostalgia chords with me and making me feel like I was a kid going through Kanto again, and I've been loving it. Now that the sort of comparison to the original story experience and graphics is out of the way, let's talk about the gameplay mechanics that they decided to change up. So, what parts of Pokemon Go made it into Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee? Well, let's start with catching mechanics, because that's actually the most obvious one. So, in the traditional Pokemon games, you encounter Pokemon wildly in battle, and you battle them to weaken them, and then you catch them. Well, Let's Go takes a totally different approach on this, and it takes most of its cues from Pokemon Let's Go. So, just like in Pokemon Go, Pokemon are in the overworld map, and you have to interact with them to start a catching mechanic, and instead of battling a Pokemon to weaken it and catch it, you basically just attempt to catch it. And what it is there's a timing system of rings that shrink down and are different colors to differentiate the difficulty of catching a Pokemon, and you have to time it just right by aiming directly into the circle and hitting it at the circle's smallest point to have the highest probability of catching a Pokemon. It's basically a game where you toss Pokeballs and try to time it right to get a good catch combo so you can catch the Pokemon. None of these methods are actually, like, guaranteed. There are other things integrated to help sort of, in quotes, weaken a Pokemon, and they're basically in the form of berries. You can give a Pokemon a berry to make it a bit easier to catch, to make it stop moving around, to make it more docile, all that good stuff. So, on the whole, as a hardcore traditional Pokemon fan, I was really afraid of these catching mechanics at first, and I was very wary of taking my core Pokemon catching experience and altering it to Pokemon Go, because I do like Pokemon Go, and I've been playing it here and there since it launched a couple years ago, and on the whole, I like it. It works really well for a smartphone game. What I wasn't sure how it was going to translate into was these mainline Pokemon games, and honestly, I can say that I don't mind the change at all. It honestly has become a lot less monotonous than it used to be, and I appreciate that a lot. Now, I'm sinking a ton of time into these games, but at the same time, I also do like to be able to get done what I want to get done when I want to. So, in terms of encountering Pokemon and catching them, this actually does streamline the system a bit. Pokemon are now not randomly encountered when you run through grass or caves or water. Now they're displayed in the overworld, and you can choose whether or not you want to interact with them. This makes it this is actually a good feature in my eyes, because if you already caught a Pokemon and you don't want to encounter it again, you don't have to. You can do your best to avoid it. Sometimes you might run into it by mistake just based on spacing and stuff. But it makes it a lot easier to try and hunt down a Pokemon you've been looking for, because it'll spawn in the overworld, and then you can just go right at it. And then as far as the catching mechanics, so far, I've been playing mainly with, because of not being able to hold the Switch in handheld mode, I've been playing pretty strictly with single Joy-Con. And at first, the catching mechanics seemed a little bit clunky, because you use motion controls. Now, I'm not usually a very strong proponent of motion controls, but I think they work well enough here. I didn't really have a hard enough time. Like, nothing gave me a super hard time when I was trying to catch it. I even caught all three legendary birds pretty easily, but there is a little caveat to that. Certain story-based overworld Pokemon, you do have to encounter them and weaken them first by beating them in a battle, and then you go into the catch mechanics. That, I think, is actually really smart, because it makes you actually weaken something like Moltres or Articuno or Zapdos, and then you get a chance to catch it. And it can be annoying if you miss a few throws, but Pokeballs in this game are so plentiful that you have plenty to work with, and you get a grip of the motion mechanics, motion capture mechanics as you go on. So, on the whole, I don't think these elements are actually that... I think they're a pretty good change. I wouldn't mind them coming back in another mainline Pokemon game, maybe tweaked a little bit. Maybe we get to battle every Pokemon and then try to catch it. That may be too much, though. That may be too tedious. That's going back to the old days. But I gotta say, as someone who's older and has less time to play games now, it felt really good to be able to just kind of hunt down a singular Pokemon that I wanted to find and catch it without much of a struggle. It also makes chaining battles super easy, too, because basically you can raise the odds of encountering a shiny Pokemon or encountering a rare Pokemon by chaining certain Pokemon in a row. So basically what happens is if you catch a Pokemon of the same species in a row, you start what's called a catch combo, and this only increases your chances to encounter a shiny or a super rare Pokemon that can be found in the overworld. And one thing that I do really love about this, too, is the fact that pretty much all the Pokemon from the original 151 can be encountered in the overworld. There are a ton of evolved forms of Pokemon that I ran into, like Nidoqueen in the overworld, that I was not expecting to run into and thought I would need a stone for, but I was able to catch them without having to, you know, go find a moonstone or something. It was kind of really weird at first, but I really did appreciate it, because what it does is it makes it more immersive, too, because you would think you would find evolved forms of certain Pokemon in the wild, and here you actually do, and I think it's really good, because they are rare encounters. You do have to wait a little bit to find them, because the chances of encountering them are low, but when you do, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, look at that. I actually have a chance to catch this without doing some extra work, like using a stone or leveling up a Pokemon or something, and that can be really rewarding as well. So, we talked about primarily the Pokemon Go integration into Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, and I kind of just want to talk about my experience on the whole as someone who's gone through Kanto several times. So, the difficulty of this game is definitely ramped down. I definitely had an easier time moving through the story than I did in previous games, but at the same time, I also got to experience this Pokemon world in a different way because of the change mechanics. So usually what would happen is I would decide pretty early on what my team was going to be, and then I would specifically find those Pokemon and just train those Pokemon on a team. This time was a little bit, and you know, not focus as much on catching until after I beat the league. This time was kind of the opposite. I didn't have an idea of what I wanted my team to be when I went in, except a few key Pokemon that I knew I wanted to have, and that was pretty much just Rhydon and Lapras, which are my two favorite Gen 1 Pokemon, so I wanted to make sure that those were on my team, but otherwise I was open to all other options. I thought I might fall into, you know, using the three main starters, but I actually fell into a habit that I didn't think I was gonna do, which is actually I caught a Bulbasaur in the Viridian Forest, and it stayed on my team through the entire playthrough. Venusaur has actually become one of my favorites on this playthrough. It's really weird. Usually, I'm a Blastoise guy. Not too fond of Charizard. You can fight me on that. You know, at me if you have a problem with me not being that much of a Charizard fan. But Venusaur, I always thought was kind of lame until I used it this time, and I found myself using stall tactics like seeding a Pokemon, toxicking them, and then using like Mega Drain and Mega Evolving it too, just to turn it into more of a tank. Not to ramble about Venusaur, but just I wanted to point out that this run through made me appreciate some other Pokemon that I didn't get to really use before, just by choice. I never really gave Venusaur a chance, but I did this one, and I'm loving it. Same with Pikachu. I mean, I've always liked Pikachu as the mascot, but, you know, obviously his stats are beefed up for this game since you can't evolve him, so he's kind of a win-all, so I've been trying to not really use Pikachu that much, but I've still been loving that too. Also, Arcanine. Arcanine has always been one of my favorites that I never got to use on a main playthrough, and I got to this time, and I loved it. And I got to use my other favorites too, in the form of Rhydon and Lapras. Those two are just tanks, and they deal so much damage, and I love it. I also ran a Dodrio too, which Dodrio, I think, is definitively my favorite flying type from Gen 1. I just like its concept, and it's funny, and its Drill Peck will pretty much take down any fighting type in one hit. So aside from the difficulty being pared down, what this game made me do was be more curious about finding what Pokemon were in certain environments. I have a general memory going from what Pokemon you can find in what areas, like the Rock Tunnel or Mount Moon or Viridian Forest, but then I found myself lingering around because I'm like, okay, they had to have tweaked the encounters a bit to make some rare things pop up, and I was right. So what actually ended up happening this time more was the fact that I caught way more Pokemon species before getting to the Pokemon League than I usually do. I caught about 90 different Pokemon species, which in my regular playthrough was probably more like 20 or 30 at most. And yeah, they do gate you at some points of entry. Like, the gyms now require you to have, some of them require you to have a certain amount of Pokemon caught, some of them require you to have a Pokemon of a certain level, which is all good and well, but the fact that I actually went out of my way more to catch more Pokemon, I think, is sort of what drew me to the conclusion that I really didn't mind the changes that they made to the catching mechanics, because it made it easier to find Pokemon that I wanted to catch instead of searching on endlessly for hours and go out, find them, catch them, and expand my Pokedex more easily. And honestly, that part was pretty fun, because that's the more casual part to me, is just searching for that one Pokemon that's next in line to fill out my Pokedex and find it. Now, I think I'm at the point in the game right now where I'm about to face the Elite Four, and I pretty much know what to expect there. But I think I'm actually going to take a break and go catch more, because I want to kind of end my Pokemon League experience with having most of all the Pokemon I can catch, and being, you know, feeling like I really conquered something if I can. Now, again, the difficulty on these games is toned down. Anyone who has never played a mainline Pokemon game before will find it pretty accessible. But I also think that is also not such a bad thing, too. I would like it if Pokemon had a system of adjusting difficulty, because then you could, like, if I could turn it down to a casual level like this when I know I'm not going to have a lot of time to play this game, that'd be great, because it would make it easier to get through. But the mainline games also take up a ton of time too. I've put in, like, I don't know, 25 to 30 hours at this point, and honestly, I'm just loving it on the whole. Also, one of the best things that came out of this game was riding Pokemon as well. At first, you know, your smaller Pokemon follow you around in the overworld, which is good and fun because you feel like you have little partners running around with you. But then the fact that you can actually ride most of the large Pokemon in the game is awesome. Some of the animations are pretty great, like Snorlax, you and your Pikachu hang off the top of the stomach. Rhydon, I really liked. You kind of just hang on his shoulders and he just kind of clomps around. And then, I think my favorite Pokemon to ride always is just Lapras. Just surfing on Lapras feels like such a clean, like, Pokemon experience to me. I love it. So, on the whole, I really love what these games did. They kind of reframed Kanto for me. I was never a Gen 1 hater, but I never thought Gen 1 was the greatest, but this made me just, like, kind of remember back to how amazing I thought these games were when I first ran into them. And sure, these are baby's first RPG, but if you don't have time for massive hour-long RPGs, it's a really good start for one. And I'm really excited to see what they keep for next year. I kind of hope they keep... A few things that I definitely want to see them keep is Pokemon following you around in the overworld. That was a great addition. The way they did gyms and gating your progress a bit, I liked as well, because it made it so you made sure you were at a certain point in progression before you tackled gym leaders. And also, I actually wouldn't mind if the catch mechanics stayed like this. Maybe you can have an option in the beginning to whether you have traditional catching mechanics or go mechanics. I might honestly stay with go mechanics, but I would like some more controller variety support, because currently the Pro Controller is not supported, and I thought that was a big misstep on their part. But on the whole, I'm really loving these games. I recommend any Pokemon fan to check them out. As someone who was highly skeptical of these when I first saw them announced, I thought, oh god, I don't need to replay Kanto again, even though this is what a lot of fans have been playing for, like, asking for a while, a 3D remake of Kanto. But the last couple of weeks, I saw a really good buzz for it. The reviews seemed really positive, and I was like, okay, I owe it to myself to get and play these games as a mainline fan of these series, and honestly, I don't regret one minute of it. I can't wait to keep going in this game. I can't wait to actually... I think this is going to be the first time I get the Shiny Charm and fill out my entire Pokedex. I'm not a massive completionist when it comes to Pokemon. I usually just, like, catch Pokemon I like and get their evolved forms and just kind of fill out my Pokedex to where I feel comfortable, but this time I actually feel driven to fill out the entire thing, and you bet that I'm going to get an Alolan Exeggutor and Alolan Muk. Those are my boys. Those are my Alola boys, and I cannot wait to have them in my team and see that massively tall Exeggutor fumble around behind me in the overworld. So I think that's kind of where I want to end my ramblings on Let's Go. Let's move into the conclusion and talk about what's coming up. So guys, that's going to do it for this week's episode of 8-Bit Archaeology. I'm glad that I bought these Pokemon games, and I'm glad that I got to ramble about them for a little while to you guys. And again, I appreciate all the continued support. We hit 1,000 downloads. It doesn't seem like a lot in the grand scheme of the internet and stuff, but to me, it means a lot. So thank you so much for listening, and I really appreciate it. Where can you find me? You can follow us at 8BitArch on Twitter. You can go and leave us a good review on iTunes because it helps more people find the podcast. You can tell a friend about this podcast too because, hey, maybe they like listening to weird guys ramble about video games too. You can email me any feedback you have at 8BitArch at gmail.com. And then we also have a Discord server too that you can find the link to in the show notes on the episode. So thank you guys so much for listening. Really appreciate it. I can't wait to keep making more episodes for you guys and for myself and all that good stuff. So this is your local rambling video game nerd signing out. See you guys next time.